I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. These past couple of weeks, I've just been blessed with the two weddings that transpired, and awesome. I've never been to an outdoor wedding, so that was really a neat experience and really enjoyed that. And then I've never been to a wedding that I have clapped so much in my life, so I thank you, Reverend. I think I'm going to tell my daughters there's going to be a lot of clapping at your wedding. it was a great time, and it's just great to be with you guys this morning. And this morning I want to talk about the Good Shepherd, and specifically I want to talk to you about the Good Shepherd's voice. And our text, our passage for this morning is found in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, so if you'll open up your Bibles, or if you have an electronic device, if you'll turn it on and press click. John chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 1 and go through verse 16, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. And the word reads, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, he brings out his own sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who have ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out. There's that phrase, in and out, again, but we're not going there today. And find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. What we learn about this passage is that we are like sheep, and God is the good shepherd. We hear God because of who we are and who we belong to. Hearing God's voice is about who we are, and it's not about something we do. Jesus contrasts the work he does with the work of Satan, and Satan is a thief and a robber. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. This shepherd to sheep model in this passage shows us that we are designed like sheep, and sheep by their very nature need a guide. If we look at verses 1-5, the shepherd enters the sheepfold directly by the way of the door. He doesn't sneak around and try to break in like a robber would do. Jesus, by his identity as the good shepherd, is acquainted with and has direct access to the lives of the sheep. Then Jesus enters the sheepfold again and speaks to the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls the sheep by name, and he leads them out. They don't follow a stranger because the sheep don't recognize the stranger's voice, but they follow Jesus because they know his voice. The context of this passage is Jesus talking to the Jews and telling them that he is their shepherd. But what about you and me, us Gentiles? Does Jesus speak to the Gentiles? If you look at verse number 16, it reads, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." How do we know that these other sheep are us Gentiles? In God's word, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it reads, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So in verse 16, it says there will be one flock and one shepherd. So God speaks to the Jews and to us Gentiles. He is our good shepherd, and the two become one flock, and he's one shepherd. So we as all sheep hear his voice and follow him as he leads us. The question becomes, where does he lead us? The most well-known passage in the Bible gives us some answers to where he leads us. Psalms 23, he leads us to green pastures. He leads us by still waters. He leads us along right paths. He leads us safely through the valleys of difficulties and uncertainties. And finally, he leads us to heaven, to where we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sheep are born with an instinct to hear the shepherd. Unlike an elephant, a lion, or insects, when we become Christians, we are born again with spiritual ears to hear the voice of God. Even though at salvation we are given spiritual ears to hear, we still need to learn how to hear from God. You know, the disciples of Jesus were with him everywhere he went when he was on earth, and probably prayed with him on numerous occasions. Yet the disciples still asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." And Jesus gave them the model to learn by what we call the Lord's Prayer. It is the same for us as it was for the disciples. As a new Christian, we can open our mouths and pray to God. And according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it reads, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Even though we can pray instantly as believers, we can also learn to pray as we grow in faith. You know, we have our newest little baby back there, baby Zachary. And he was born with the ability to communicate. But he will need to be taught how to speak and how to listen. The baby will start by saying single words like, "Daddy." And Jessica's back there saying, "No, he's going to say, Mommy." And he's going to say, "Mine," and "No." And then move on to sentences and proper grammar. The baby's speech develops because of its innate ability of being a human being, yet it also needs to learn how to communicate. When we begin life with the ability to speak and understand, speech is programmed into us, yet we have to learn to speak and to listen. God calls us to start right here, right where we're at. I know in this room, there are maybe some of you that have never heard from God. And then there's some of us that are drinking milk and we hear from God maybe rarely or occasionally. And then some of us are eating solid food and we hear from God often. I want to tell you today that God wants to speak to you often and regularly. You know, hearing from God is not a destination. It's a lifetime journey that gets better and sweeter as the days and the months and the years go by walking with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So why hear from God? Why should we hear from God? In James chapter 2, verse 23, it reads, "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. and he was called the friend of God. We hear from God because, like Abraham, we are called a friend of God. In John chapter 16, verses 12 through 13, the Bible reads, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." According to this passage, who is going to speak to us? The Holy Spirit. And who is going to tell us of things to come? The Holy Spirit. So how does God speak? You know, movies and television shows usually show God talking to people in a loud, booming voice. "I am God." But how did God speak to the people in the Bible when he just wanted to have a conversation with them? I don't think God talking to Adam and Eve in the garden, I don't believe he was using a loud, booming voice. I believe more often than not, God speaks to his people like he spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Starting with verse 9 through 15, I'll read it for you. "And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." I want you to notice that God did not speak to Elijah in the strong wind, in the earthquake, or in the fire, but in a small, still voice. That's what I believe would equate to what I feel from time to time is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It impresses upon you, whether it's on your heart, on your mind. God speaks that way. What about another example? Take the story of Gideon. God spoke to Gideon, but Gideon was unsure about the message. He was so unsure about the message that Gideon tested God twice by putting out a fleece. Gideon's uncertainty is found in Judges chapter 6, when Gideon said, "God, show me a sign that it is you who talks with me." Why did Gideon doubt God's voice? If God was using a loud, booming voice, Gideon should have recognized that. But I don't believe God was using a loud, booming voice. I believe he used the same still, small voice that he used with Elijah at the cave or at Horeb. What evidence do I have to suggest such a thing? Because of all the friends of God found in the Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, and Gideon, to name a few. All of these friends of God heard from God, and all these people lived by faith. When God speaks to us today, he probably won't be using a loud voice, but he will speak to you by the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. Back to John 16, 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come." When God speaks, it will require faith to follow through and to do it. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had the Gennari family here visiting, giving a testimony and a message. And they're a great example of a family that hears God and listens to them. I remember the first time they came to our church here at Heritage of Faith, and they were talking about how God was telling them to leave here, the United States, and go to Mozambique. And now they've been there for 18 months, and they came back and they said, God's telling them now to move 600 miles north of where Natalie is and where the compound is to reach 3 million Muslims for Jesus Christ, all because God was speaking to them. And as Ian was speaking, all I could hear was that phrase that I read in Reinhard Bonnke's autobiography, Africa shall be saved. God is calling Ian and his family to do that for the Lord. And God spoke again to a number of us about financially supporting the Gennari family. I remember specifically after the service, my oldest daughter, Gianna, coming to Laura and I and her telling us that she heard the Lord tell her that she was supposed to give something to the Gennari family, but she wasn't sure on what amount to give. So we prayed with her that God would give her an amount to give. That's the God speaking to us. Last night, me and my wife and I, we went to a concert, Christian concert. It was the Stephen Curtis Chapman Songs and Stories Tour, and it was a great time. And with him, he had Brandon Heath and Mac Powell, the lead singer from Third Day, and I know some of you older folks don't know the young music, but those are three great, awesome Christian worship leaders of our day. And there was a testimony that Stephen Curtis Chapman shared. There was a girl who is in nursing school and has been saving money for a number of years. And she had all this money, and when she counted it, it was over $3,000. But she didn't know what to do with the money. So she asked her parents, and her parents prayed with her. And they were discussing on how what they give and where they give and all this. And they said, one of the places that we give is to Show Hope. And Show Hope is a foundation that Stephen Curtis Chapman founded that helps people adopt children from other countries that aren't financially able. It's like a grant, if you will, to help pay. And she prayed, and God led her to give this money to this foundation. It so happened that Steve Curtis Chapman was doing a concert, and she lives right here in Phoenix. And they decided, you know, they were gonna go to the concert, but they were gonna give the money to Stephen Curtis Chapman. It also happened that they had VIP tickets, so they had backstage passes. So she got to meet Stephen Curtis Chapman, and she got to personally hand him the check for $3,000. Stephen was so humbled by this little 16-year-old girl giving $3,000 for this foundation, this grant, that he offered that she go to China and go see this orphanage. So she went, and God has called her to help in this orphanage, so she's gonna finish nursing school. And last night she gave another check for $1,500. God speaking, and she obeying and doing what the Lord has asked her to do. It was a beautiful, beautiful testimony. God speaks to friends. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And in the New Testament, James 2, 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. God desires to be our friend. Just as God was a friend to Moses, he wants to talk to us every day. Not rarely, not occasionally, but often and regularly. It's interesting who Jesus called a friend. In Matthew, we hear the story of where there was a disciple, and it reads, "Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Jesus called Judas a friend. Brothers and sisters, that is good news. Jesus' question refers to an earlier conversation that he had with the disciples back in John 15. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." If we are disciples of Jesus, then we are friends of God. Jesus lays down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for us, even when we betray him, even when we sin. Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies were reconciled to God through his death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." I want to spend the rest of the remainder of my time this morning answering the following questions. How do I know if God is really talking to me? How do I know if God is truly speaking and I'm not making something up in my mind? And is it okay to ask God to confirm his word? The simple answer to the last question is yes. God always confirms his word. In Mark 16:20, it reads, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming through the word through the accompanying of signs." God confirmed the working of Jesus and the disciples through the miracles that were on display. In the story of Gideon's fleece in Judges 6, it also relates to confirmation. But it was not only the fleece story where Gideon asked for confirmation. Prior to the fleece story, God spoke to Gideon, told him that he wanted Gideon to deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Midianites. But Gideon was hesitant, even though God greeted him by calling him a mighty man of valor. Gideon was giving God excuses. "My clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my father's house." You would think that Gideon, with those kinds of instructions, would move forward, but no, Gideon still asked for confirmation. Gideon still had some doubts and some fears. So Gideon says to God, "If I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talks with me." So Gideon asked God to wait while he went and prepared a meal. And God said, "I will wait until you come back." How crazy is that? God asked to wait while a human goes out to figure out if this is God or not and to prepare a meal? I believe this story shows us that God waits. Scripture tells us to wait upon the Lord. But here, Scripture is telling us that God waits for us as well. God didn't condemn Gideon for wanting confirmation. God showed us that he will wait for us to figure it out, that he is truly talking to us. So when dinner was ready, the angel of God told him to place the meal on a rock. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that it was the angel of the Lord, so Gideon said, "O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there and called it, "The Lord is peace." What I want you to also note is that even after the angel of the Lord left Gideon, God spoke again to Gideon. even more confirmation that Gideon didn't even ask for. Gideon felt peace within his spirit as the voice of the Lord spoke to his heart. I want to share a personal story of confirmation. And I shared this story back on Valentine's Day earlier this year, but I want to give you an abbreviated version because it's one of the times in my life where God gave me some of the greatest confirmation that I've ever received for him. And it's the story about how I met my wife, Laura. You know, my prior two relationships of trying to find a bride didn't end so well. They left me frustrated and hurt. So I sought the Lord in prayer in providing me with a wife. And during halftime at a Super Bowl party in the church gymnasium, God puts this bright light on Laura. And I'm standing there, and everything else around me is dark except this bright light, spotlight on Laura. And the Lord impressed upon my heart, "Have you considered my servant Honey Buns?" No. I mean, the lovely Laura Lee. Mind you, I wasn't thinking about girls. I wasn't thinking about relationships. I wasn't thinking about marriage. I wasn't even thinking about considering dating anyone. I was just there enjoying some snacks and enjoying fellowship with my friends. So after the game, I went home and I began to pray about Laura. And it took me praying from January till May. And during these months of praying, the prompting of the Holy Spirit kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger because I kept asking, "Lord, are you sure Laura is the one for me?" Well, on May 16th, after church, I couldn't even eat lunch. I finally believed and trusted God that the Lord was leading me to start a relationship with Laura. So I called her on the phone. And I told her that I wanted to talk to her. But what I needed to talk to her about, I didn't want to do over the phone. I wanted to do face to face. And so I said, "Would you meet me before the service tonight at church?" She said she would. So that time came, that moment of truth. So I bared my heart and I told her, "Laura, I've been praying about you since January. And I've been praying, and the Lord is showing me and telling me that you are the one for me. I want to start a relationship with you, but I'm not interested in dating you. I want this relationship to end in marriage." And so I got done saying all that, and I'm anxiously waiting. And her response was, "I've been praying about you as well." And when I heard those words, I've never received more confirmation in my life that she was the one for me. And the hallelujah chorus rang in the background. I'm sure most of you can share stories of how God has spoke to you and the journey it took to act on his word and get confirmation that you needed to move forward. God always confirms his word. Back to the question, how do I know if God is truly speaking? There are three questions we can ask to confirm if we've heard from God. The first question is, does the voice that you heard line up with the Bible? God's voice will never disagree with God's word. They will always match up. If they don't match up, that wasn't the voice of God that you heard. Number two, does godly counsel agree? If you believe God has spoken to you, then go to someone mature, godly people and ask them for their counsel. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Proverbs 24:6, "For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety." When you seek godly counsel, this doesn't mean that you've already made up your mind. If you've already made up your mind, you're just seeking counsel. You're not seeking godly counsel. When you seek godly counsel, you're giving it to the Lord with open hands, not closed hands, open hands. And ears to hear, and for that, and for God to come help you with a decision. With godly counsel, you are asking a trusted Christian in your life to sincerely pray about a matter along with you and offer wise biblical advice. You might have some blind spots that you can't see that the wise counsel can show you. Godly counsel will be able to discern a matter more objectively than you can. When you do seek godly counsel, you need to hear from God first. It is not the responsibility of the godly counsel to hear from God for you. That's your job. You need to do your work. You need to pray. You need to be in the Word. You need to spend time alone with God. You need to be listening to the Lord. You need to be fasting. And then after you've heard a voice of God, that's when you go seek godly counsel. Third, is there peace in your heart? It always takes faith to follow God. Fear has no part in following God. Fear is from the enemy. Scripture says love casts out fear. Faith is from the Lord. It took faith for Gideon to follow God's voice. If God is leading, then he will give you peace about the matter. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. And Philippians 4:7 reads, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In every godly decision we make, it is the peace of God in our hearts and our minds that protects us. This peace is beyond our own understanding, for the way forward may be dangerous, may be difficult, may be even seem impossible, yet God's peace still guards our hearts and our minds. If God's peace is present in a matter, then this is one of the ways we can know if we've heard God's voice. My prayer and encouragement for you today is found in Exodus 25, verse 22. And it reads, and I'm just reading the first part, part A, 22A. And there I will meet with you and I will speak with you. Today we can speak with people via the phone, via email, and not meet with them. Likewise, we can meet someone on a bus or an airplane, sit next to them, but never speak to them. But in this passage in Exodus, God says he both meets with his people and he speaks with his people. That is a great and awesome truth. Remember, Jesus is the good shepherd. We are his sheep. We are also his friends. And he wants to meet with us and speak with us, not rarely, not occasionally, but often and regularly. Word of God, speak to your people. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you are the good shepherd. I thank you that you speak. And I pray that you would just open up every ear that is here, Father God, that they would hear your voice, that you would take those things that block out your voice, that you would soften their hearts, open their minds to feel the prompting of your Holy Spirit in the matters and decisions that are facing their lives. And I ask that there be a peace, that they would receive that peace and know that peace so they'll make the right decisions concerning jobs and families and relationships and difficult situations, Father God. Speak to your people. I ask that you would receive what the Lord has for you today, because he wants to speak to you every day. We are a friend of God. Lord, thank you for this time that we've had. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your word. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name.